George Contos. Let's hear it for George Contos.
Give it up for George.
There you go. 3 2/3. Hey, he was in 4 of the 5 games, and every time he came in, it was a big situation. 3 2/3 innings, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 2 huge strikeouts for him. George, thanks for taking a minute to join us out here on the patio.
Hey, George.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. How you guys doing?
Well, come on, fans, George Contos, huh? All right.
thank you.
Oh, come on, you hear it. Boy, I just congratulate you on having a great National League Division Series. Tell us, just in your own mind, you know, this has been a magical season for you. The Red Series, as a ball player, you guys are down 0-2. The Hunter Pence speech, what did it mean to this ball club?
Oh, I mean, it meant everything. I think Hunter is the one reason that we won that series. We came back from down 2 games and won 3 on the road, and Hunter was kind of our inspiration. You know, he brought us all together and told us what was really important, what we were fighting for, and, you know, we kind of, this may sound a little cliche, but we all looked at each other in the eyes and we're like, we're not ready to go home yet. So we all started playing for each other, and, you know, look what we did.
Yeah, it came back in amazing fashion. As a ball club, going down 0-2, and you know how these things work out. When you got on that plane to go to Cincinnati, what was in your mind?
You know, there's always a little bit of doubt when you go down 0-2 in the 5-game series. There's always that little bit of doubt that creeps in your mind, like, okay, well, if we lose one more, we go home. But, you know, once we got there and we started working out and Hunter kind of pumped us up, nobody really wanted to go home. And that's how we've been all season. We've been a scrappy team that finds ways to get things done, and that's exactly what we did.
Hey, George, we all saw on Facebook, a picture was put on Facebook of you guys on the runway in Cincinnati waiting to know where you're going to go at that point. And you're watching the Cardinals-Nationals game. Go ahead and give us a vibe of what it was like when you saw the Cardinals come back. And did that put a little scare into you? Like, these guys won't go away. They're the Terminator. What was the vibe like on that plane?
You know, I think we were just sitting in a good position right there. We were the ones who were already in the next series and getting to watch who we were going to play. We kind of, you know, felt a feeling of ease. But at the same time, I don't think any one of us in this clubhouse is intimidated by the Cardinals. I think we're the same type of team. We're scrappy. We have guys that are going to fight all the way to the end. So I'm expecting a pretty good series this series.
Good. What is the key for you? Because Bruce Bochy goes to you, and let me tell you, Barry Zito should be buying you dinner for about the next 5 years.
He can afford it.
You know, yeah, he can afford it. And because he puts you in situations, honestly, where you got to get that strikeout, and you've come through big time. What when you get on that hill and those inherited runners are out there, what do you think about?
You know, the biggest thing for me is just trying to keep things simple. You know, earlier in the year, I struggled a little bit with inherited runners, I think just by putting a little bit too much pressure on myself. But as the year's gone on, I just try to keep things as simple as possible. Just go out there and relax, you know, look at the sign, whatever sign Buster or Sanchi give me, and just try to execute the pitch to the best of my ability. And I think by doing that, everything kind of, you know, makes everything a little bit easier, just not going out there thinking too much and trying to do too much. Just go out there, keep things simple, and things have been working out really well ever since then.
Well, it's the slider, isn't it? I mean, you have to have command of the fastball, but that swing and miss slider, how did you learn how to throw that thing?
You know, it's funny. I didn't throw a slider up until my sophomore year of college. There was a teammate of mine by the name of Evan Blessoff, who was a fellow pitcher, and we were playing catch one day in the outfield at Northwestern, and he threw a slider to me. And I was like, wow, that thing's pretty nasty. Like, how do you throw it? And he showed me how he threw it. And then I started throwing it the same way. And it kind of just took off for me. It became my pitch. And once I became a bullpen guy, I kind of scrapped the curveball, which I used when I was in the rotation, and just kind of went fastball slider with an occasional change. And the slider has really, really taken off for me.
Wow. All right. So in spring training, you show up in St. Petersburg. You're a New York Yankee. You leave Florida. You end up in Arizona. And Scottsdale is a Giant. You watched the Yankees on TV last night, unfortunately for Derek Jeter,
right,
a bad injury. And here you are in the NLCS with the Giants. How do you even describe this year for you?
I mean, this year has been unbelievable. You know, it started off a little bit crazy on the last day of spring training. I was scheduled to pitch in the very last game against the Mets. And I started warming up, and I was told by Mike Harkey, the bullpen coach, to, you know, sit back down and go inside. And as soon as he told me that, I figured something was up. You know, they don't normally just tell a guy who's healthy and been doing well to just sit down and go inside. So as soon as I got inside, Brian Cashman came up to my locker, grabbed me, and he said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And I went in the office, and he said, you know, we traded you to the Giants. And at first, I was like, oh, wow. Like, really? And I spoke to Bobby Evans, and we set everything up. I went and did my physical in Scottsdale, and then got sent to Fresno, did well in Fresno, got called up here, and never really looked back.
No,
so ever since, ever since getting up here, everything has been tremendous. You know, it started out kind of being like, oh, you know, I'm going back to AAA again, not really feeling that I had much to prove there anymore, and I get called up here, and things kind of just took off for me.
Boy, what a story. It really, it's
awesome.
It's a great, honestly, George, it's a wonderful story of life and baseball as well. Give me some thoughts about Derek Jeter, though, and seeing him go down last night for the Yankees.
You know, you never want to see any player go down, but a guy like Derek, I mean, he really is. He's a great player. He's a great person. You know, he's a great guy that I was very fortunate enough to be around for a little while, just to kind of get to know how the game should be played the right way. I mean, he's a tremendous guy, tremendous, you know, work ethic. You know, I hope he bounces back from this fairly quickly.
Is he the guy in the Yankee clubhouse? They always say, remember Reggie Jackson, I'm the straw that stirs the drink. Is Derek Jeter the guy?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say, yeah, he's the kind of guy that, you know, when something needs to be said, he's the one who says it.
Yeah.
And when something doesn't need to be said, he's the guy who's always doing the right thing. You know, guys kind of look over and see what Derek's doing, and they try to mimic that. You know, his work ethic, the way he goes about his business, he really does things the right way.
Yeah, well, if you guys make it through this, I want the Yankees. I want to tell you that. So I do. I want to see the Yankees again. One last spot for you, Pat.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Yankees either.
Go ahead, Pat. Yeah.
All right, hey, George, I got to ask you, your bullpen mate, Sergio Romo, sure has taken hold of that closer's role, and he's just such a fun guy to watch pitch because he's a little guy out there just slinging that slider up there, and he's learned some additional pitches. So if you could talk about his work in the Game 5 against the Reds. But I also want to know, because I know it's a tradition in the Giants' bullpen, is that the junior guy, the guy with the least amount of tenure, has to carry the Hello Kitty backpack. So I guess, is Lincecum now that guy, or was he in Cincinnati? Was he carrying the Hello Kitty backpack out there?
No, I don't think Timmy can be carrying any backpack.
Two Cy Youngs prevent that, I imagine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think his resume is going to be the stop-all to him having to carry the backpack. But the way the backpack works is the guy with the least amount of time in the bullpen has to carry it. Right. And that would have been me. But when Guillermo Mota came back from his suspension,
gotcha.
He looked at me and he was like, why do I have the bag? And Javi Lopez was just like, we're going to give him the bag. You know, we did all this work and we're in first place and he comes back. Now he's going to join us, so he's going to have to take the bag. So he reluctantly took the bag and we ended up, you know, running off a few games in a row. So when we got to Cincinnati, he looks at me, he goes, hey, rookie, don't even touch the bag. And I said, okay, all yours.
That's awesome.
Very good. George, what's the vibe in the clubhouse this afternoon?
I mean, everyone's feeling real loose. Everyone's coming in really excited to get this thing going. So it'll be a fun series, and hopefully we're the ones that end up on top.
Fabulous. Thanks for taking the time. A great baseball story. Mm-hmm. Fans, George Contos, huh?
George.
Really?
Good stuff.
Good stuff, George. Have a good afternoon. All right. Thanks, George. Thank you.
Good guy, Marty.
Yeah. Boy, let me tell you, he's a big part of what's happening here.